Hey Potters, welcome to episode 294 of Cosplot the Podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay!
Happy summer, everybody!
We just started
summer yesterday.
No happy summer. It is awful. It is terrible. There's extreme heat in a number of locations, and it is a nightmare. No. I did not sign up for this.
I'm trying to speak it into being. If I say happy summer, therefore it must become a happy summer.
It's just going to be hot and miserable. What are you talking about? No, Starman. Yes. I do not want to hum that.
I mean, accurate.
Yes.
Not a lie. But yes, it is a summer full of course, cosplay, because that is what we are here to talk about. And what we're here, more importantly, to talk with you all about.
In theory.
I mean, virtually speaking, because I would love to hear your all's voices as we're recording this, but unfortunately, that it doesn't quite work that way. But anyways, of course, we are here to talk about cosplay. And so we will start out, as we always do, with cosplay updates.
Whee!
And I understand that you have a 2 water bottles worth update.
Well, okay. This update is maybe like a fifth of a water bottle. The rest of the stuff for the episode is the 2 water bottles. But I do have updates because obviously there is a dress form behind me that has a completed costume. Yes, my Baldur's Gate Gale costume is completed. It is done. The bracers, the belt, the weird little knot button things that just, you know, reasons. But look, it is all nice. It's finished. It's symmetrical. It's great and fancy. And I don't know when I'm going to wear this because it is made out of fancy fabric. Therefore, it's got a lot of layers. Therefore, it is not breathable. So it's probably only good for like 3 months out of the year. But it's done. And I'm happy for that. It means I can move on to the book now whenever I decide to start working on that, because that was the whole reason for making this costume, because I wanted to make the dumb book. Hooray! Good times. So once we're done with this recording, I'm going to be taking this off the dress form so I can go back to patterning, because I'm going to be working on Franziska von Karma from the Ace Attorney series. I've cosplayed her once, 2008, 2009? I've been on this journey of wanting to remake some of my older costumes now that I have all of this knowledge and experience, and really just take it and be like, okay, I know I can make this 100% better, so let's just do it. So all my materials for that are in, including the wig. I'm still doing some research on how I want to make the whip prop, because I don't want to take a real whip into a con, because I know that means it's going to be piece
bonded. Please
don't. And I know most cons are actually okay with it as long as you keep it coiled up, but it's like the whole point of the prop is for me to pose with it, and she likes to have it somewhat extended. So it's not going to work if it has to stay coiled up. There's no belt on her outfit, so I can't have it attached to a belt. So I'm trying to find ways of making this work and keeping it safe while also light. And so far I'm hitting a lot of dead ends with that. I've found a couple of LARP tutorials, but they're very much like wrap everything in foam. And I'm like, well, that's not going to work. And that's not going to be the aesthetic I'm going for. So yeah, work in progress. I'm still researching that, but I am excited to actually like dive in and like tackle this. And I know that's something that I can whip out really quickly too, because I have all this experience and knowledge in my brain now that I'm like, cool, this is actually easy for me now versus, you know, 15 years ago when it was like, oh, this is my first time. I don't know what I'm doing. I do know what I'm doing now.
I have some ideas for you.
Oh, okay. I'm willing to listen.
I thought you might. Because another thing is that, especially with props like that, a lot of cons don't want you to like use them.
Right, right.
It just be the proposing same way about for photos too.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, well, I mean, you can like hold it out in front of you and that's it.
Yes.
It's like, well, that really kind of limits what you could do with it. I had the same problem when I had my bow props, both with UA and with Lena Inverse.
Mm-hmm.
They said I could not set the arrow to the string.
Right.
Which, given that it's an EL wire string, literally I cannot shoot it. It does not work. There's no tension in it. And so I convinced them to at least let me like hold the dowel up against it. But yeah, a lot of cons are getting very strict.
It really depends on the events. Some of them are strict. Some of them are a little bit more loosey-goosey on the rules. Like I said, there are a couple of like comic conventions that are like, yeah, a whip is fine, but you do have to keep it either attached to your belt at all times, or it has to be completely mm-hmm. coiled at all times, which is better than nothing. So I'm like, okay.
Yep. I am sure you will find a way of making it work.
I'm sure that I will too. I just would rather figure it out sooner rather than later. I don't want this to be another 10-month project because of the dumb whip. I would be very unhappy about that.
I bet.
There's my cosplay updates. It's been a very busy couple of weeks for me, kids.
Yes. Speaking of the comments in chat, which, yes, please keep them coming. We do see every comment
yes.
that is in chat.
Yes,
we
yes,
just
yes.
can't always comment on them in the moment. But sometimes you do need to put things down and come back to it later. And I've kind of done that to a pretty large extent with cosplay at the moment, which it's for reasons. I have good reasons, one of which is that life has just really been kicking me when I was down lately. So I've just needed to put things down for a little bit, and that's why I haven't had much progress. But I did work with Val to put together two amazing interviews for you all, which one of them you'll be seeing tonight.
Yay!
And then we have another one for you. So we have been cooking, seriously cooking.
So many interviews this year.
I know.
My poor hard drive.
Amazing. It's fantastic. I love it. So we've been working on getting, you know, good quality content for you all since we do this once a month. And I also, once I had heard that this was Anime Fest's last go round as a large con, not saying that they're going away, just this is kind of their last hurrah, as
right.
it were. I went and researched their con to see if, you know, maybe I should show up. Because normally I don't like going to summer conventions in Texas because I become a melty puddle like everybody else, regardless of the cosplay that I choose to bring. But for this, I might make an exception. We'll see. I will not be there all weekend for sure.
Right.
I'm not going to do the week. I can't. But I might be able to be there for a day or two.
Yeah. I was considering it at least for a day, even if it's a drive-by to say hi to a bunch of mm-hmm. people that I know. And then,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because it holds a lot of memories for us, too.
Oh, yeah. It was still, it wasn't my first con, but no. it was one of my first.
Yeah. For us, it's where we first met.
Yes.
There's some CosPod lore for you guys.
Yes. I haven't decided what cosplays I would take, though. If I take anything, it's not going to have armor.
No, 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 no.
There will not be armor.
No, no, no.
They will probably be very simple versions of the cosplays that I have. So don't be surprised. I have to be comfortable.
Yeah, that's why I'm leaning towards maybe bringing Dahlia Hawthorne from Ace Attorney. That one is something mm-hmm. that I've remade, and it's actually the first place where I wore it was at Anime Fest, but this is a brand mm-hmm. new version of it. Or if I get mm-hmm. Franny done in time, I'll bring Francisca, because those are light enough and have mm-hmm. enough airflow in them that I'm not going to feel like mm-hmm. I'm dying.
Right. Deedlet would be one of mine.
Yes.
That is literally like the most airy of my costumes.
That would be great.
The second one is kind of a toss-up between Presea
okay.
from Ray Earth, because that's still relatively airy, or Lena Inverse without the armor.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So just the standard tunic and pants and then the amulet set. That's it. Because she does wear it in the show.
Yes.
She does take her armor off once in the show. So we'll see. I won't have Athena done in time.
Mm-hmm.
That would actually be like the best option, but I won't have it done in time. So we'll see. Everything is still up in the air. I haven't even bought a pass yet. We'll see. But it would be cool to be there to see my friends. My concern is the same as yours with Expo, which is that the crowds will be massive because it's their last time
mm-hmm.
and they're really pushing it
mm-hmm.
in their social media. And so I'm sure that for the same nostalgic reasons, and understandably, that they're probably going to have a higher than normal attendance. And I didn't see any sort of cap this year on the tickets, which means they may exceed the capacity of the hotel. And for anyone who has been to Project Akon when that happened, or has seen the pictures of Anime Expo when that happened.
Every year.
Yeah. You know what that's like. And it is not the most pleasant experience.
Oy vey.
Even in good times. Yeah. Like, that doesn't even count the fact that I am a claustrophobic person by nature. I don't like crowds. Those would be very, very bad. But, yes. So, you all may see me. You may not. If you do see me, I'm going to be very, very low-key.
We're keeping
not low-key.
It...
Low-key.
We're keeping it chill.
Yes. If you do happen to see us, you know, please say hi. We love to talk to potters. We love to talk shop, as long as we're not rushing off to a panel somewhere. And we'll tell you as such. But, yeah, come say hi. And that is all of my cosplay stuff.
Woo!
I believe it's time for you to regale the audience.
With my 4-hour trip to Fan Expo, because that's all I could stand.
See, I made a Gale pun.
Yay!
You missed it.
We're just going to do this. That'll make up for it. There we go. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about Fan Expo Dallas. So it took place this year from June 7th to 9th in Dallas, Texas, because it's in the name, in the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center, which is the largest convention center in the freaking area. It had 120 plus guests. I counted, I lost count, and I recounted many, many times because I kept losing count. And I'm not including the anime after dark that they had Friday night. I think there were like 40 guests for that alone, too. It was a lot. And they had a very incredibly low number of cancellations. So needless to say, it was very packed. Even if you factor in like the guests that only showed up one day or 2 days, it was still a lot. So, having said that, I went as an attendee. I didn't apply for media or press under Cospod. I paid for my badge, I paid for my parking, and I paid for my Adam Savage signing and selfie. I wanted to experience the event as an attendee. I arrived just before 9:30 on Sunday, and I left around 1 p.m. And I want to start out by saying I'm making this review because I want Fan Expo to do better. And I know a lot of people want the same changes that are well within the convention's ability to do so. So my critiques are here to help on that endeavor. And I'm only going to be commenting on what I experienced on Sunday, not on the parking, because that's not Fan Expo's fault. That's Dallas's fault. Not on the cosplay contest, not on the panels, because I didn't sit in on any of them. Cool beans, cool beans. I do have a lot of good things to say, too, because I have seen improvements. So I want to make that clear as well, because the last time I attended was 2018, and I stopped going because I was just not happy with the direction that the event was going. Because I felt like the parent company, which is Informa PLC, was not listening to attendees. They weren't providing content or events to kind of keep people engaged. They weren't fixing the line issues. They weren't fixing the signing area. They weren't adjusting their floor plans. Their focus was really just getting guests in and cramming as many people into the expo floor. And it really wasn't anything more than that. And I was getting very tired of that. And even though it's been 6 years since I was last there, disappointingly, the biggest issues are still there. And Fan Expo needs to address them immediately, because Kay Bailey is going to be starting renovation later this year. Its estimated completion on their website says 28. I think it'll be 2029, let's be honest. They're demolishing a huge chunk of the building.
And that takes time.
Because
those usually take longer than they tell you.
Yeah, they're taking part of it down. And it's the path that leads to the arena. And they're opening it up to outdoor shopping space, which is going to be butt in the summer because we no longer have a corridor for AC. So thanks for that, guys. I know it's the city of Dallas that approved it. It's not anybody else's fault. But they are going to be adding a new wing and extension for I think 800,000 additional feet for expo floor, which is great. And then some new meeting rooms and all of that stuff. But having said that, because of this construction coming in, Fan Expo needs to adapt or they are going to be in big trouble. It's as simple as that. So before I go into like all my little mini critiques, I do want to talk about two big things that I think are the most important aspects that Fan Expo has to fix. They have to fix. And these are the same ones that I saw in 2018, and they're still prevalent. It affects the quality of the show, the show's lack of care for the attendees, the staff, the exhibitors, the artists, and the guests. That's why it's a big deal. So the issues are that I really want to focus on are the exhibit hall is still very poorly laid out and needs to be remapped. The second issue is the autograph lines are a disaster. And I know personally that it's an emergency situation waiting to happen, and none of us want that. So let me first break down the exhibit hall situation. The only changes that I have seen from 2018, at least from what I recall, there was an addition to the tattoo area. It's like, that's a new thing now. The food court was made larger. Okay. There's a big space blocked off in one corner with pipe and curtain for large panels. Basically, what that means is they're adding more things to the expo floor to take up space at the expense of safety and contributing to excess crowding. Everything is really cramped. Artist Alley, Starman said that it was maybe about 3 people wide. I think that's being very generous because on Sunday, I kind of was like, maybe one person could walk down that aisle. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're like the aisles in the grocery store. They're very compact.
They were smaller than that. Way smaller.
Oh, that's pretty bad then.
It was smaller than that. I skipped wanting to go and browse anything because I just felt like I was getting squished everywhere. And I dislike that because I want to support local artists. But I just looked around and I was like, I am not going down that line because there's no way for me to browse. I would just be, if I didn't know exactly what booth I wanted to go to, I would just have to kind of walk on through and keep on walking. And you want to browse stuff on the expo floor in the hopes of purchasing something, right? You mean you're there to spend money. You're there to spend even more money after you buy your badge and whatnot. And in the waning years of the COVID pandemic, having such tiny aisles is inexcusable. That makes no sense anymore, guys. There's no reason for such limited walking space given how much Fan Expo has grown over the years and how much money they have. They can rent out more space and they can utilize more meeting rooms to relocate panels, to relocate the artists, to relocate the food, relocate the fan groups. And I know the concern with that is, well, people won't know where they are. Hang on. We all know how big Kay Bailey is. We are willing to walk.
Well, I mean, at least those who have been there know how big it is.
We are willing to walk that space. I saw loads of people walking from all the way at the arena entrance to where the expo was. Multiple times. We know we're going to put in our 10 miles that day, and that's fine. We're willing to walk where we want to go. They just need to open up and redesign that floor plan to make it so it's more feasible. And that way the dealers can stretch out a little bit. The aisles get a little bit bigger. The signing area can stretch out a little bit. And then you don't feel like you're in this tiny little taped line where you're going to be elbowing everybody. When people feel trapped, their instinct is to get out. They want to leave the convention. Yep. They want to flee. I wanted to multiple times. That means they're not going to want to explore, which means less money is spent on food, drink, vendors, and guests. And I know that money is a very strong motivating factor for these events because they need to make it back and they make extra. Why would you crunch everybody together and lose the chance on attendees spending money? And I want to also add, before I get the naysayers dropping in and saying I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, I do. Not for Fan Expo directly, but I have been to this convention center multiple times over the years for work events that have the same size, sometimes larger than Fan Expo numbers. So Fan Expo in 2022, their figures were about 60K. And they were estimating about 60K this year too. And I could see that maybe up to 70K. My work events have gone up to 100K using the exact same space as Fan Expo. But our floor plans are designed to bring in a load of vendors while providing ample walking space. So when you go into that building, you don't feel like there's 50, 60, 70,000 people there. You feel like you might be able to see 1,000. if that. You know, the dining is in a separate area. The panels are spread out. In this case, it's to the southern half of the convention hall. You know, just doing all these little things and spreading things around makes for a far more enjoyable experience. You know, the vendors like it, the staffs like it, the guests like it, the attendees really like it. And attendees are more likely to stick around and spend more money when they don't feel cramped, when they don't feel rushed, and they don't feel like they're being stretched for time. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Feeling uncomfortable is one of the easiest ways to get people to not only leave the con that time, but not come back, because they have the memory of that experience. It's like, if you've ever been sick at a con, that's what you remember about the con, is that you were sick. You don't necessarily remember like the great panel that you attended or the voice actor you had a chance to meet. Like, it's kind of overshadowed.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you have like uber cramped conventions or a convention where the air conditioning stops working. We've all been there. Of course, what do you remember? The AC stopped working.
That's how we remember them.
Exactly. And that's not how you want your con to go down in people's memories.
And it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and more cramped and cramped and cramped until they redesign that floor plan to make sense. Because it's just ridiculous right now. Okay, the second big issue is the autograph lines. They are still long, they are still cramped, and they quickly lose organization because the lines have gone so big that they move out of the taped area and then start merging with other lines, which I have heard from a number of people that that happened multiple times over the weekend. The taped area...
I love that you said still long. Like, everything is still the
long.
Same again.
Again! Again! The taped line was abhorrently tiny. I was afraid of elbowing people. And you guys know how tiny I am. So I was like, eh. Fan Expo every year seems to underestimate the popularity of their guests, which is kind of funny because there were several this year from what was accounted by others to me, that the lines lasted well past Expo closing hours. And while the guests were awesome to stick around for several hours to, like, we want to clear the line. Everybody waited. Let's do the signings. Cool stuff. But that's also a lot more money Fan Expo has to spend to keep the lights on, to make sure the staff is paid, the exhibitors, the security, and any convention center staff that have to stay late. And by Sunday, as I was walking around to figure out where Adam Savage was, I saw a bunch of people at the end of the line had a big poster up that said online reservations only for the day. And I was like, okay, I'm glad some of them understand that, yes, we need to have a cap now, but that needs to be the policy from here on out. There's no reason for this lack of management. It is ridiculous. All of the staff members in the lines were great. I had no issues with them. They were all very polite, very chill, very complimentary. I actually had no issues with any of the staff members there. Staff was great. It was just so much for them to have to handle. And it's just completely boggles my mind that the autograph sessions are still this way. They need to move to a virtual queue, exactly like they do with their photo ops. Aside from fixing the floor plan to give more space to the signing area, obviously, they need to do an online pre-purchase time slot system. And it's just the customer buys for their 1 hour slot. They show up 15 minutes early. They show their QR codes. Fan Expo really loves QR codes. I'll get into that in a moment. Gets it scanned, confirmed. Yes, you did purchase the thing. You stand in line and you get your autograph, selfie, slash whatnot. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. And the big thing with that is it'll ease up traffic congestion. You won't be blocking the aisles. It'll help manage the pace and the flow of the line so you don't have people waiting 7, 8, 9, 10 hours. And then after hours to get their signature, you reduce the number of staff members are needed to manage that line because now you don't have to worry about the overflow management. You got enough people that are just for that time slot. You can lock it down. Done. Easy peasy.
And you can always have a wait list in case you're worried about people. Like if they sign up and then for whatever reason they can't show, just have a wait list.
You can have
there
a
will still
list.
Be people waiting.
Yeah, you can have a wait list. And you can make sure that you set up your lines in such a way like, here is our wait list line. Like, it's totally doable to do that. But the extra benefit to this, too, of having this virtual queue, you are spreading out your attendees to other parts of the convention center so they can experience other things. They can spend money on other things because we know... That's the key thing. If they're not sitting in line for 6 to 8 hours, What are they going to do? I'm going to walk around through the dealer's hall and I'm going to buy some stuff. I'm going to walk to the artist alley and buy some stuff. I'm going to get some of that Fan Expo merch that they were pushing very hard on me. If that is not enough to convince people, I would highly encourage you all to watch Defunctland's video about FastPass system, because it gives a fantastic overview on why virtual queues work and why theme parks gravitated toward it. Because when Disney first tested it, they recognized that not only did it increase guests' happiness and guests wanting to return to spend more money, it allowed them to go to gift shops, to go to dining locations, to go to eateries, to go do more of the magic moments and get photos taken. You spend more money. If you apply that to the Fan Expo autograph lines, you can see how much it's going to vastly improve everybody's experience. My only thought is to why they probably still do the, you know, first come, first serve signing is like, well, there might be some people who don't know about the system until they show up. I get that. I want to be respectful to those people. You could also do what Disney used to do in their OG FastPass system, which is you hold back a couple of signings that you don't have online. Person can go up to the end of the line for the staff member and ask, hey, do you have any signings still left? And you can go buy one if they do right then and there. You get your time slot. You know when to come back. Simple as that. But I think that virtual queue system that they use for photo ops, they have to put it to the signings, because the signings cannot continue running this way. Fan Expo and the guests already know how many signings they can do per hour. They just need to apply it to their online system and then they're golden. And we're taking a drink now.
I mean, these things that we're talking about here, and by we, I mean you, are not new things to any convention goers, like Rolodex of things that you would like to have worked out at conventions. Like all of these things, even when we talked about putting together our ideal convention, which if you all have not seen that episode, I invite you to go in our archives, which of course you can find on YouTube and all of our podcast channels. And go listen to that, because we actually talk a lot about all of these things that Val is listing now as things that need to be addressed to have not only happy attendees, but also happy staffers,
yes,
happy volunteers, and happy guests.
Yes.
But even more so, happy city employees, because they're important too. Like, everybody is happier whenever you work through these things in advance. That's all.
Yeah. When it comes to the signings and virtual queues, I've done it at other conventions and they've always worked out great. I've never heard any complaints. They went by smoothly. I think the greatest thing that I liked about it was knowing that I didn't have to arrive until 10 or 15 minutes before my time slot. And I was in the line. I think the longest that I ever stood in any one of those lines was maybe 40 minutes. And I felt like I got plenty of time to talk to the celebrities in question. And I had a great experience. You know, I would much rather do that and be able to spend the rest of my time enjoying and experiencing the convention than having to stand in line for 6 to 8 hours. I think that's a no-brainer to me. And that would be such an easy thing for Fan Expo to fix. And you would be greatly increasing the joy of so many of your attendees by moving to that method. So there we go. Okay, now for my other critiques. Let's talk about the QR codes. Lord help me. So when you enter Fan Expo, you have to activate your badge with the QR code. First off, look how cute this badge is.
It's chibi.
It's like, it's a chibi Sailor Moon as Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. It's like they knew me, and I hope all the Sunday badges were like this, or if they were totally random, thank you to the staff member who gave this to me, because you got me. This is a cute one. I like it a lot. Positive thank you for badge and not for wristband. I was totally expecting a wristband. So thank you for this. So after I picked up my badge, on the back, there's a QR code, and you have to go to this large pool of people standing along to the side to activate your QR code, because they scan your badge everywhere, in and out of the expo hall, in and out of panel rooms, the whole stuff. The problem was my QR code did not scan, and they have dummy QR codes up. They were like, okay, try these, see if these work. None of those worked either. The website that they directed me to on the back of the badge also did not work. It kept sending me to this third-party site to sign up for a subscription service to something with my credit card. I immediately got a staff member and said, no, I just paid $64 for this badge. I am not signing up for any magical service of whatever this is. It took them 15 minutes to register my badge, which is ridiculous. They really need to do something about having the people at badge pickup like scan the badge quickly, and that registers you. I understand that their whole point is they're trying to get data from you, like your email, your age, and all that. I get that. I gave you all that information when I bought my badge online. You don't need it again. It's fine.
Just... It also allows them to track traffic and where people go mm-hmm. in the con.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, like I get why that might be helpful to them, but at the same time, you could just ask me.
Yeah.
Like, where are the places that you spend the most time at the con?
And they I get did the most in people... the in the literally a day later, they sent out their feedback form and they asked that question.
That's what I was about to get to. Is I know sometimes people don't like doing surveys, but I promise you that doing the survey is much better than you having to sit there and queue up in a line to have your badge scanned everywhere mm-hmm. you go. So just do the survey.
Yeah. And honestly, the badge scanning itself was pretty quickly, other than the exit. The exit got very clustered because there was only one exit and two scanners. Oops, might want to fix that. So the scanning itself wasn't bad. It was just the whole process of activating it. And I was already rushing on a time crunch because my goal was I want to be at the front of those doors at 10 a.m. so I could rush to Adam's line and not have to wait 3 hours for my signing. And he got there early, thank goodness. Woo. But this like delayed me because like that's 15 minutes that I was not planning for and had no clue what to expect. And I was also thinking about the people where it's like, okay, this is assuming you have a cell phone. I understand most people do these days, but it's also like the Wi-Fi in this convention center is meh.
Horrible.
Meh. But when you have 40, 50, 60,000 people on top of
it. Ding, 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 ding. Yep.
Then it's questionable.
That's why I said it was horrible.
Or you're assuming that people have a cell phone plan that would allow them to do all of this without racking up a lot of money. And that's not fair to people. Like, you're asking us to use so much data on our phones, and maybe they really can't afford it. That's just cruel. So just
that's why I don't like online convention apps where you have to stay connected to the internet, like it's schedule updates and such. Like,
no, thank you.
Let people use it offline. Come on, guys. Guys and gals.
Guys and gals, yeah. So I was just like, you know, we could do better than this. If they could just do the activation when you're doing badge pickup, that would be great. I know that they mail these out if you order them early enough. I don't know if you can activate them early. If you can, cool beans. But if you have the same problems as me, you're kind of stuck in the same situation. So you're like, okay, what do I do now? I don't know. I have no answer for that. The other thing with the badges is the free lanyards, which is great because I didn't know we were getting badges. I assumed it was going to be a wristband. I was ready for a wristband. I had my sleeve rolled up for it too. It was very funny. Please have your lanyards in an accessible location, not at the corner of the Fan Expo merch table where you have to wade through a sea of people to get to it and they're all tangled together in this tiny little ball. Because it took me a couple of minutes to actually like get one out. I would recommend that they do what PAX does and you just get a couple of podiums and you can put them in various locations throughout the line process for the queue. And it's just a big acrylic square box with a bunch of lanyards in it. You pick one up and you keep walking. It doesn't disrupt the line. It's great. So that's just my suggestion. There's still no carpet for the signing lines other than for the celebrities. That floor is concrete. Could you please get some cheap carpet for us? Because it gets very uncomfortable to stand there for a while. Please. Please. The signs in general for like VIP line or end of the line probably shouldn't be written on Sharpie on white paper. Because it's very hard to read that from a distance. Please consider printing out more appropriate signs in your schemes and branding, because at least then it'll look more professional and it'll be easier to read. Signs for the rooms with the panels and activities were small. They really need to be much larger. Like, I'm thinking poster holder 22 by 28 or bigger, just so that they're more visible to attendees. I'm glad that they had signs, though, so thank you for that. And then, as always, more water stations. There were a couple. A little difficult for me to kind of pinpoint them. I ended up having to refill my water at a water fountain because I was just like, this is here and I need water now. Whoop. I am glad that they still let us bring in empty water bottles and you can fill them inside. Thank you. Thank you so much. But yes, more water stations would be good. Okay. On to the good stuff. Because there is good stuff. I appreciate that Fan Expo has been listening to the locals and they are giving us more activities and events to do. Yay! There was a D&D room. Fan Expo, please expand the room because they need more space. It was busy when we went in. It was great. There was a Halloween escape room, a general tabletop room.
If you offer it, they will come.
Absolutely. There was photo backdrops in the main convention walking area, but we also stumbled upon a room that had like these cool three-dimensional photo setups with a ring light on them. And we took a couple of pictures in there and I was not expecting that whatsoever. And it was fairly quiet and empty. It was almost like it was off the beaten path, but it was next to like the escape room. So I was like, why aren't there people in here? This is really cool. I wish they had a little bit more advertisement for it.
That may have been why they didn't have advertisement for it, is more like, well, let's just see like what happens when people stumble upon it and try and use it. And if that goes well and mm-hmm. nothing gets destroyed, then maybe we'll advertise it and hope that the hordes don't go in. Because maybe they thought like too many people would go in and things would get damaged and whatnot.
Maybe. I don't know. But it was really nice and it was cool. And it was just neat to see like every station had its own little ring lights. So you had great lighting all throughout. Mm-hmm. I was like, cool beans. There was a kids room, kept the kids busy. They needed some downtime. There was a quiet room. Great. We love the quiet room. There was an anime room. That's the only one where I have a giant question mark on because I don't know what that was. It was a couple of tables with these bland photo backdrops that look like generic Windows desktop backdrops. And that was it. They weren't playing any anime. There weren't any games or anything going on. It just seemed like a room for sitting, which is fine. But sure. I don't know why they dubbed it the anime room. It felt very strange.
That almost sounds like it could have been intended to be an anime library.
Maybe.
But maybe failed.
It was very...
Or was repurposed.
Yeah, people were using the tables and nothing was going on in there. But that's fine. Yeah. Whatever. I will say regardless... I'm very glad that Fan Expo has been giving attendees more things to do to kind of make the badge worth it, you know, and I hope that they keep doing this and I want them to continue to do this. So please keep that up. Multiple doors to the convention center were open. Thank you. My very, very overheated butt, who likes to get dehydrated very easily, greatly appreciates that on many, many levels. The bag checks were very fast and very thorough. It may also be because I know the process now that I'm like, okay, boop, bag's already open. You can see it. We're done. Cool. It may just be because I know, but the woman was very great and she was like checking all the extra pockets too. So I'm like, okay, they're caring about safety. Cool beans.
Mm-hmm.
I've already talked about the badges and the fact that there were badges. Yay. Thank you. I would like that. I like that a lot. Badge pickup itself was actually very speedy and I have to commend them on this because I bought my badge the day of online. I was like, let's see how this process goes and how much trouble they're going to give you for it. QR code scanned, no problem. They gave me the badge, no problem. I didn't have to ask any questions. There was no confusion. I could buy it online an hour before I got there and pick it up. That's great. That is awesome. Thank you so much for making that such a smooth and seamless transition. Beautiful. Staff members, every single one of them was great. They were all very nice. They were very helpful. Thank you for the two individuals that helped me with the QR code situation. I am greatly appreciative of you and your patience. And I'm sorry if I sounded a little flustered. I was trying very hard to get to Adam Savage. I had a priority. So yeah, I'm pleased as punch that there are good things to talk about with Fan Expo. And I hope that they continue to improve upon these. So the big question that I have, would I return to Fan Expo? No.
I knew the answer to that.
No. They need to do something about that expo floor plan and they need to fix their signings. When they do that, I would be much more willing to come back and spend whatever money I got. but just in the current state, no. There's got to be more to it than that. And that's all for me. Time to take another drink of water. Yay.
You know, as much as I can appreciate conventions wanting to have as many people, as many fans come in the doors as possible, not just to make money, obviously, but to experience con life and seeing all of their favorite guests and meeting their idols and buying merch and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think no matter how large the building, there comes a point when you just need to cap attendance.
Absolutely.
There's no reason why you need to have 60,000 people in a building at once. So if they want to just cap the attendance, or if they want to expand the number of days that they hold it and just hold different events on different days so people have a chance to pick and choose, go attend the things they want to attend, whatever they like, whatever change they want to make, either way, I don't think that's a sustainable model. And for the cons that have more than that, that have 100, 120,000 people.
Anime Expo numbers, that's what people right. want. They want AX numbers. They want Dragon Con numbers.
Right. But when you get to that point, like at some point when you can brag about having, you know, we had 60,000 people and it's very impressive to other cons. When you hit that other point and you start having fire marshals shutting you down and people fainting and hyperventilating and you having mobility issues mm-hmm. because people literally can't get around, especially for those who may be differently abled or who have underlying conditions, then you start to take that reputational hit and things start going downhill and mm-hmm. it's no longer a brag that you have 120,000 people. That's a detriment.
It's a safety issue. That's my biggest concern. Yes. Is I am always concerned, especially with Fan Expo size, where it's like, an emergency is going to happen at some point. You can't assume that it won't. It will happen at some point. And in their current position, it doesn't look like they're ready for it.
No.
And I'm greatly concerned about crowd crush more than anything. That's exactly why I didn't go on Saturday and why I waited till Sunday. Because sure. I was like, if I'm doing this, this is going to be a Sunday only trip for a couple of hours because I don't know how much I can handle it before I just start losing my brain. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think attendees need to not only plan for their own safety, because that's always a thing at any convention, not just crowded ones, but consider voting with your dollars.
Yeah.
Like, if you keep returning and they keep doing the same things, they're not going to change anything.
Exactly. That's what it ultimately comes down to, is like the cons that stick around, they're sticking around because you keep paying for it. And there is a, mm-hmm. there is an upper level cap at some point. You just have to stop going until they get the message that, okay, maybe we need to change things. And then they'll recognize, hey, we got to do something about this.
Mm-hmm. And they're only going to change if you tell them.
Yeah.
And not with the voice, which, yes, please do that too.
Do that too.
Yes, with the dollars.
With the moolah. The money talks.
Yeah. And it will hurt. Yes, you will have to not see your friends for that convention. Yes, you may have to skip out on your favorite voice actors, but you know, that's up to you.
Everybody makes a choice at the end of the day. The mm-hmm. one thing that I've recognized, especially amongst our mutuals and other people that I know that go to conventions, a lot of us are just doing more stuff outside, because it's like, I can see these friends anytime. I don't need to drop 500 mm-hmm. bucks on a convention to go see them. We could go chill in the park for free mm-hmm. and have a great time being dorks.
Yeah. Alrighty, so that was your tale of Fan Expo.
The tale of Fan Expo. This is a biggin episode too, isn't it?
It is. You know, we were like, yeah, let's get back down to half hour episodes. No.
No, it's going to be back an hour plus at this point and then uh-huh. some, because the interview we have coming up is so good that I barely edited any of it. I think I edited it for little pauses and from technical issues, and that was it.
Exactly, because that's the kind of interview that the people want to hear.
Exactly. So we're just going to be hour plus episodes. You all can deal with it.
Indeed. So let's move right on over into the interview. Let's not keep the potters waiting. Hope you enjoy. All right, Potters, we have a special gift for you all today. We've got an interview with an amazing guest. Please introduce yourself to the Potters.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mylea, also known as Fly Hinata, and I'm the founder of Lumika Cosplay Resale, which is a secondhand cosplay marketplace. Super excited to be here today.
And just briefly for the Potters, a disclaimer, we are not sponsored by Lumika. We don't have any sort of like back channel deals or anything. We were just really intrigued by the platform behind her store, and we wanted to chat with her about it today.
So I guess let's go ahead and jump right on into it. What started you on your path to cosplay?
Yeah, so I had been kind of like a loner in terms of like engaging with anime and manga for a while. And then I got to college and a couple of my college friends were really into anime. And so they got me kind of like deeper into it. And they were like, yeah, did you know that we actually like go to this thing every summer called Otakon. And it's like where you can dress up and you can, you know, like meet other people who like the things you like. And I was like, wait, that's so cool. So like up until then, I had never like knew about any like comic cons or anything like that. And so they were like, yeah, why don't you like dress up with us? It'll be fun. And I was like, you dude, the opportunity to like dress as my favorite character that I love sounds like so much fun. So I had my mom help me make my first cosplay, which was Korra from Legend of Korra. I you know wore my natural hair and like did the little hair loopies, and it was lots of fun. And ever since then I've just been, you know, going back to cosplay as like one of my favorite hobbies. And yeah, it's been about 10 years now. So
it always starts in college.
Yeah,
or you, like, before find, for some of us.
Yeah. You like find that little niche group that's like that's those people who really help you get further into the hobby. So, yeah.
Down the rabbit hole we go. Well, it's very obvious that you love cosplay. So what do you love most about it? What excites you about it?
What I really love about cosplay is that, you know, you can really become anyone that you want to be. Like, I feel like when I'm in cosplay, it like helps me to like elevate to that next level of confidence. So like, yeah, maybe I may be confident outside of cosplay, but when I'm in cosplay, you know, I can be, you know, a cool little Victorian Earl, and I can, you know, overcome maybe those things I might be self-conscious about outside of cosplay, and gives me that, you know, extra confidence to talk with new people and just meet them and bond with people about things that we love. And I also just love seeing like the creativity that people put into cosplay, how different people approach their costumes. And it's also really fun when you're cosplaying the same character and you're like, you're the only one who understands that there is no reference for that part of the costume. And we both have just come up with how to solve that problem. And I just like love those moments of bonding with people over making the same costume or cosplaying the same character. Like, ah, she has such stupid hair, but I love her. It's only for her.
Do you think a lot of those aspects have influenced your life and how cosplay has kind of played a major role in it?
Yeah, I think that ever since college, it has really like pushed me and my creativity. I would say that in every facet of my life, I find myself like feeling like supported by cosplay and the cosplay community. Some of my best friends, actually like all of my best friends are cosplayers. They're people who are, you know, just like very creative, just kind of love going outside of the box, the kind of people who are, you know, comfy just sitting home and crafting, but also not afraid to go out and dress in a costume. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's made me, you know, want to pursue something like creating my own business, which maybe I wouldn't have done before. Yeah, it always gives me something interesting to do and something cool to talk about with people. So I think that cosplay has really helped me to like build relationships and also find a lot of like spark in various aspects of my life.
This is just bringing back memories of some of the early years of Akon when we'd all get on the public transit and then everybody would come and see all the people with the funny Party City wig colored hair and the weirdo costumes, and everybody was carrying massive props with them, and you just kind of get the side eye because they're too shy to ask you about it, but they're just like, clearly something's going on.
Something's going on. You know, and you either get the polite people who are like, oh, like, what are you doing? Like, I see everyone dressed in costume. Or they're like, I thought Halloween was in October.
Every day is Halloween.
That's literally what I say. Except actual Halloween, because we can never pick which cosplay that we want to wear on the actual Halloween.
It's so true.
Now, at the beginning of the interview, you mentioned Otakon, which all of us know and love. And you've actually been involved in founding two pop culture conventions. So how has cosplay kind of shaped the way that you view convention organizing?
Yeah, so I helped to found Comic-Con back in 2015 with a friend of mine in college. And that was kind of eye-opening because you really don't think about how much goes into convention organizing until you're kind of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But as a cosplayer, like, I'm aware of the things that I as a cosplayer like really need. And one of those things is just like having a nice place to sit and rest that isn't the floor. And it sounds like a really small thing, but like having those accessible locations just for, not just for cosplayers, but anyone who just might need, you know, a place to rest, a quiet room to sit in, that's really important. You know, thinking about how cosplay plays into the entertainment aspect of the event, because like cosplayers like bring themselves, like, you know, people come to conventions to see cosplayers and all that they do. And so it's great in both Comic-Con and the convention that coming up for the first time, ImmerseCon, we're creating like a cosplay showcase. And it's giving cosplayers the opportunity to show off their costumes and their hard work in both a competitive and a non-competitive setting, because sometimes people just want to like rock a cosplay, you know, do a little model walk, do some poses, and like hear the cheers of the crowd because, you know, hey, I worked on this thing, or I feel really cool in this costume, whether you made it or not. And so those, I always want to give like those avenues, like in cosplay, elements of a convention.
Yeah, definitely something that Amber and I can relate to, because we have been managing a cosplay contest for one of our local cons for several years now. We both have massive amounts of experience behind the scenes. So just trying to think from a cosplayer's perspective of, okay, we need this, we need this, we need this, because we know if we can make the cosplayers happy, everybody else will be happy.
Yeah, because usually we have like some of the highest needs, because, you know, we're walking around kind of uncomfortable all day in like many layers. You know, if you're having the wing where the cosplayers are waiting really hot, no one's going to be happy. You're going to receive a lot of complaints. So it's like important to have good circulation, you know, have doors where people can step outside if they're getting like too hot, especially in the summer months, like especially when cons are during the summer. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, as I'm sure.
You never know just how welcome a fan is until you don't have one.
Right.
So kind of switching gears on this one, one of the reasons that we were really excited for this interview is because of Lumika Cosplay Resale. And I remember first seeing about this on the Bluebird app and was like, oh, this is a great idea. Why hasn't somebody thought about this before? So what was your inspiration behind starting it?
Yeah, so I went to Japan in 2019, and I was really, really jealous because they have like physical secondhand stores there where you can buy like secondhand merch, but like also secondhand cosplay, which I was like, that is just so cool that you can actually buy secondhand costumes in person. And then I went back to the States and I was like, man, I bought like a couple of those costumes there, but I wish we could do that here because, you know, I have some stuff that I want to get rid of, and I have some wigs I bought, but maybe it didn't end up doing the costume. I was like, so I'm like the kind of person that I see a problem, I'm like, okay, how do I solve this thing? I think we as cosplayers, we really have that kind of sentiment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I can't do it in person yet. But what if I made like an online version of what I saw there? And so I made like a mock-up website using kind of like a white, like an out of the box kind of website that helped me like build the platform. Mm-hmm. Cause I don't have a programming background, but I like looked for some tools that could help me build it. And, like I started with a kind of like simple version, and I just kind of asked, you know, people in my local community, like, hey, can you try this thing out? Would you use it? I'm doing some beta testing for a couple of months, and everyone was like, whoa, this is actually kind of a great idea. Like, I'm surprised not many people have thought of it. And, you know, I think that there had been a few that have popped up here and there where people had tried to do it, but it hadn't really like grown and it didn't have as many much functionality, I think, as I wanted. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this thing the way I want to do it. And yeah, we ended up launching in February 2021, and we've grown to about over 3.5k users as of today. So it's grown a lot since then. It was pretty exciting.
Well, congrats on that. That's pretty big.
Thank you. Yeah, I just been like whenever I go to cons, I like carry my little business cards with me, and I always feel kind of awkward. It's like, oh, I hate like shilling to people, but I'm like, okay, but this is actually something that they would want to use. Like, if I was a cosplayer and I wasn't me, I would want someone to tell me about a cool like place I could sell my secondhand costumes.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's pretty big demand if you look at how often cosplayers will ask for swap meets, because clearly they want to not throw away a lot of the stuff that maybe doesn't fit anymore, or they just have grown out of that character or whatever. And it's like, well, I want this to go to a good home, but they don't know how to do it. And so having a platform like that is really amazing. Now, anyone who has started a business or a convention or pretty much any other big undertaking knows that it is not easy in any sense of the word. So when you first started out, what goals did you have for the business?
I think that some of my biggest goals were I wanted to create something that would really like help people. And that was like one of the big things, because I felt like cosplay had given so much to me that I wanted to give back to the cosplay community. And so I think that I've successfully done that so far. Like, we've rehomed over like 800 items so far. And that's pretty big, because so many of those like could have ended up just sitting in someone's closet or like, you know, getting tossed out. And so that makes me feel really good, because it's not only like helping people, it's also like helping the earth and like making it more sustainable in that sense. I really wanted to grow to just like 1,000 users in the first year. And it was kind of crazy. It happened in like the first month and I was like, whoa, okay, maybe I'm onto something here. So that felt really good. Yeah, one of the other big things was I wanted to be able to host like a in-person cosplay market. I know that some conventions, they have like a flea market kind of thing. I went to one at a ColossalCon, I believe, and I wanted to host something like that. And so upcoming at ImmerseCon, I'm going to be hosting the first like Lumika established like in-person cosplay market.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be really awesome. And we'll actually get to, you know, have cosplayers donate things and sell there in person and do a kind of swap meet there. So those are some of the goals that I had. And we're trucking towards all of them, which is awesome.
Well, speaking of sustainability in cosplay, what prompted you to start being more mindful about your cosplay materials?
Yeah, I think that especially when I started Lumika, that was kind of like right at the beginning of the pandemic, which was kind of a weird time to start a cosplay related business, especially because, you know, we weren't going to conventions anymore. But what I did notice was that people were still cosplaying, they were just doing it at home. And with the way that TikTok was booming and rising at the time, and I felt like I was noticing so many people kind of doing like cosplay of the week, you know, they were doing, because like the way that the social media algorithm demands new content constantly, I was seeing people cycle through costumes and they would say, okay, yeah, I just finished my XYZ cosplay. I'm selling my cosplay now. And I'm like, you literally only wore that costume for like 5 videos, and, you know, not judging, but like, it's not a sustainable way to cosplay. And I just felt like, okay, well, I'm seeing this happen in my circles of people that are just on my For You page and who I'm following. And I was like, yeah, I think that this is a good time, because if this trend is going to continue, then people are going to need a way to kind of share those costumes within the community in an easier and more accessible way. And of course, it's like important for us to talk about like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that. But if we're going to, you know, have people who are constantly, they really want to do, sorry, I'll start over.
It's all good.
if people want to constantly do new costumes, then it's best if we do it in a more sustainable way. And in a way where you can connect with cosplayers who want to cosplay the characters that you're done cosplaying, or maybe you don't fit that costume anymore. And I noticed that we just have so much more access to media now. Mm-hmm. There's so many more series that people watch, and they want to cosplay lots of different things, and there's nothing wrong with that. So yeah, I think that just like noticing like the boom of cosplay and how more people got into like anime and manga and just more pop culture things during the pandemic because they were spending more time inside. So now cosplay is growing. People, the attendance of conventions is increasing so much. I mean, we see how much like how many people were attending Anime Expo. Cosplay is here to stay and it's growing. And I wanted to help more people just get into cosplay too. And make it more affordable, because these costumes that might sell for $150 on Amazon or other websites, you can get for half off because someone already wore it and maybe it has a tear or a button just needs to be fixed. So yeah, those are a couple of reasons why I really wanted to start being more sustainable and encouraging others to do the same.
So over the last, let's say, 5 years or so, like you mentioned, there's just been an explosive growth and the number of people getting into cosplay, not just anime and manga, but wanting to actually wear the clothing of those characters and do it in a very public way within the community. And that's amazing. But that also means that now we have a much larger audience to be having this sort of conversation with. So have you noticed the conversation has changed at all among cosplayers, especially with the new crowd coming in, about making more environmentally friendly costumes?
Yeah, I think that the cosplayers who have been here for a longer time, they're kind of used to having like held on to the costumes for longer. We're like, no, we just wore the same costume like for the entire year. For our three cons that we attended for the year, we wore the same costume all 3 days. I mean, like when I first started cosplaying, I had three costumes, one for each day of the con. Like I was not doing, but now I do find myself doing, all right, here's what I'm doing for the morning and here's what I'm doing for the evening, and then I'm gonna change. And I think that there's more of that like content creator mindset among a lot of the new cosplayers, because it's become such like a social media heavy focused hobby. Like I think that you don't have to have a social media in order to be a cosplayer. I think it's good just to like have a place where maybe you just share your content, or because you want to have like an archive or something like that, but not feeling the need to like monetize it or make it like something you're like, oh, I need to put out content. It's like, I hate the word content, because it's just like, no, it's not content. It is like, this is like a creative thing you're making. You're making a costume, like you were doing makeup. Like, let's say what it actually is that you're working on, what you've created. So I definitely see that trend among newer cosplayers that feel the need to like keep up with the Joneses, as they say, and oh, everyone's doing this new thing, I need to do it before it like stops being relevant. Yeah. Like, I'm cosplaying Black Butler, and like, okay, it is relevant right now, but okay, like 6 months ago it was not relevant. I first worked on this cosplay in like 2021 or 2022, and I just was like, hey guys, we're doing a throwback. Black Butler is relevant every single year. We're doing this because I just cosplay what I want to cosplay. I don't care what people think is relevant. But I try to encourage that among like the newer cosplayers that I meet and who look up to me, and I'm just like, yeah, just cosplay what you want. Like, don't worry about what other people are doing. I think it's easy to say, but it's sometimes easy to get caught up with peers. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're younger too.
I think all series eventually make a comeback anyway, because as the new crowd comes in to the anime and manga scene, the very first thing they ask is, so what are some good series to watch? And all of those names that we're all familiar with start coming up in conversation. Mm-hmm. So eventually, like, even if it's a series from like the 80s or the 90s or the aughts, like, people will recognize it. There will be always people who recognize it because they're just great series.
The great anime will always stick around.
Yeah. I love seeing the throwback series. I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember that. I love that series. Mm-hmm. And like the appreciation of like fans who haven't seen like a costume from a thing for a really long time. It's like so nice to connect with them too. Cause you're like, oh, you get it. You understand.
Me with Ace Attorney every time. So you mentioned Amazon earlier. What impact do you feel we are seeing from the in-demand accessible costumes when it comes to the environment?
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because I think on one hand, it's great. You know, cosplay has become more accessible. You know, people who might not have been able to cosplay before can now access it. But on the other hand, I think that it's creating a lot of waste. And people who, you know, might not be that interested in a character, but just might need a quick costume for the weekend, also end up buying these costumes and then never wearing them again. And so now it becomes Halloween, except like 6 times a year or however many times someone goes to a convention, because they're just like, all right, gonna buy this costume of this really popular series because, oh, I just need something to wear. Like, I don't know, back when I first started cosplaying, if I wanted to just have something to wear, I better go to the local fabric store and find some like quick, you know, costume to make something like that, rather than just having easy access to it, have it 2 days shipped to your door. I think it's interesting that cosplay has become more accessible, but I do think that it is definitely starting to create more waste, and the quality too has just like, I would say isn't great for those costumes. So they don't last. And I think that's also a huge issue because they just end up getting thrown away.
So we've been talking a lot about sustainability kind of as a concept and how cosplayers are starting to have more conversations around it. So what are some concrete ways or some actions that cosplayers can take to make their cosplays more sustainable?
I would say that cosplayers can take a look at the materials that they're using. They can try using fabrics maybe from old projects that they didn't complete. I know that I have my own fabric hoard of either projects I never started or projects that I bought way too much of fabric for.
Could have pointed Amber.
And yeah, it's like
I have a hoard.
Looking for stash and like looking at things that you can use, so you don't have to buy completely new. And looking in your house and holding on to things like boxes and tubes and like bottles and thinking of creative ways that you can use those for your props, I think is a really great way to save on those more expensive materials. And also asking around to your cosplay friends, like, hey, do you have something in your stash? Because between the people that you follow and like also cosplay, they probably have something that they can share. And I've been seeing this trend of people being like de-stashing on Instagram where they'll like share a bunch of like a fabric like haul that they have. And actually on Lumika, you can list like notions and unused fabric and unfinished projects too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I've been trying to like promote that a bit more so that people can just like list some fabric on there and you just put the yardage and everything and like what kind it is. And I think that can also be really useful. But yeah, it's just like being more conscientious of like, you know, do I really need to make another costume? Can I just rewear this costume? Like, do I really need to make another costume for every day of this convention? And yeah, just like just thinking about it when you're going to a new con. It's like you're already gonna spend so much money like getting there and the hotel. It's like you're gonna save yourself money if you're not so focused on you know doing something new and rather like appreciating and like celebrating the work that you already did on a costume that you have.
And even if you wear a costume, it'll still be new to other people, even if it's not new to you.
Get as much life out of that cosplay as you can.
Oh, yes.
All right. So how can conventions kind of help cosplayers get involved with being more environmentally conscious? What kind of events could they hold that may maybe help maintain that sustainability?
Yeah, I think that cosplay swap meets are a really great way for cons to facilitate that, giving cosplayers a space where they can bring a couple cosplays in person, maybe have a little table and swap with other cosplayers. Mm-hmm. I think that those are just, you know, a great way to meet other cosplayers and also just get rid of some stuff that you maybe didn't want. And if they don't want to have the exchange of money, making it a swap meet specifically is helpful, because then you can just, oh, hey, I have this wig, you have that wig, let's just, you know, swap. And also having Lumika come to the event and actually host a marketplace where cosplayers drop off their costumes and then we're responsible for facilitating all of those sales. Mm. I think that's helpful for cosplayers because they can go about their day and enjoy, and then they can come back at the end of the day, pick everything up, you know, they get paid, and it's a lot more simple process, and then the convention doesn't have to worry about people, you know, facilitating cash transactions and things like that. And also just when people are hosting sustainability and cosplay panels, or they pitch those, actually accept those panels to the con, because there are plenty of people in the community who are talking about these things. It's about making sure that programming is getting approved, and that there's a space for us to talk about making the hobby more sustainable. Because I think there are a lot of great educators in the community who are doing the work and talking about it.
Very true. All right, so we're going to start wrapping up this interview, but before we do, we got to have our fun grab bag questions. And as everybody knows, these are fun, rapid fire, 1 to 2 minute quick answers. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right. What is your favorite material or tool to work with?
Okay, favorite material or tool to work with. Okay, so I am like a glitter and rhinestone fiend. We're at the Chinese end of the costume. Yes, we're at the end of the costume. And like, finally, I can sit there and I can just add as many rhinestones as I want. I don't even care if the costume like called for rhinestones or called for like something sparkly. I'm just like, no, it needs it. I just need to add more sparkly things. Like, even this like has like some sparkly beads on it. Because I was just like, this costume didn't have that. I just wanted it to be sparkly. Because I feel like I should be sparkly all the time. So...
Good answer. I may do the same thing. I'm not gonna deny that.
No, there's no may about it.
You get Belle
is
you get
the bling queen.
I do love blinging the crap out of my costumes.
Yes, love it. I started out doing like idol costumes and like love.
Okay, that's all you need to say. That makes sense now.
Yep.
You understand.
I understand.
All right, so if you could have one new piece of advice for new cosplayers just coming into the hobby, what would it be?
One piece of advice. Mm-hmm. I think I would say, if there's something that really moves you or moved you about cosplay, don't forget about that thing as you continue into the hobby. Because I think that the first thing that really struck me in cosplay is that I could transform into any character that I wanted to be, and I could connect with people who loved that character as much as I did. And so I keep that with me, like while I'm cosplaying, and I'm like, why am I, you know, cosplaying this character? I'm cosplaying them because I love that character and I want to connect with others. And I would just remind other people to just like hold on to that thing that made you want to get into cosplay and keep doing it for as long as you can, because it'll make the hobby just that much more enriching.
So hopefully you all enjoyed that, Potters. We had a wonderful time here with Mylia of Lumika. If Potters would like to join in and have a look at your shop, where can they go to find you?
So you can find us on lumikacosplay.com. And we also have a link tree where we have all of our socials, which is linktr.ee/lumika. And yeah, you can find us there. We're pretty easy to find, I think.
Awesome. Well, Potters, make sure that you go check it out. And also make sure that as you're participating in future cosplays, keep sustainability in mind.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate you joining us for this interview.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun to chat with you both.
And we're back.
Woo!
hopefully you all found that as amazing as we did.
Yes.
Because to have such engaging guests is not only a treat, we hope, for you all, but it's really a treat for us as well.
Yeah, it was challenging because I was like, I wanted to keep talking longer and longer and longer. And I was like, but we really can't. We got to stay within our time limit. And I was like, oh.
Right. I mean, plus we have a time limit for the podcast too, because
right.
I mean, some folks may actually enjoy 2 hours long CosPod, but, you know, that's not something we can do often.
We try to set ourselves to a limit.
Right. So, of course, you know, we can always have our guests back for round two.
Yeah.
If you all really enjoy it. So please make sure that you do let us know. And we will move right into that section. Of course, if you would like to let us know what you thought of the interview, or if you would like us to bring on additional guests, please feel free to let us know via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those of us who are watching right now, the information is located underneath Amber, as it always is. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube it's Cos Podcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod.
We're so consistent. You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes. We are still the only show that does that.
That we're aware of.
Otherwise, please keep working on all of those cosplays. Stay healthy, stay happy, so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us, maybe Anime Fest, ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 295. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.